UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome. Our topic today is chronic limb-threatening ischemia, and here to educate providers on recognizing symptomatic patients for prompt referral is my guest, Dr. Graham McFarland. He's a vascular surgeon with UAB Medicine. Dr. McFarland, let's start with explaining a little bit about chronic limb-threatening ischemia. Is it common? Tell us a little bit about the etiology of it.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity to talk today, Melanie. Chronic limb-threatening ischemia is really a subset of peripheral arterial disease, which is a broader term that's used. And in fact, chronic limb-threatening ischemia can be considered the end stage of peripheral arterial disease. It's really characterized by chronic inadequate tissue perfusion at rest. And when we speak of critical limb-threatening ischemia, we generally are referring to the lower extremities. However, it can be applied to the upper extremities as well. So those patients that are at risk for peripheral arterial disease or really any other manifestations of atherosclerosis are really the patients we're looking at here. And, you know, risk factors for a diagnosis of chronic limb-threatening ischemia include those patients of advanced age, those with hypertension, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, hyperlipidemia, as well as tobacco use with cigarette smoking.
So since treatment depends on the severity of the disease, doctor, and many individual parameters, as we know, might play a role, as you mentioned, diabetes, hypertension, age-related factors, is it essential that someone with ulcers or pain in the legs or feet when walking or at rest see a vascular specialist as soon as possible? How important is early diagnosis as being crucial to improve outcome prediction?
That's a great question. You know, ideally, these patients would be seen much earlier when they're initially diagnosed with peripheral arterial disease, if they do in fact receive that diagnosis before reaching the state of chronic limb-threatening ischemia. But once they do reach chronic limb-threatening ischemia with rest pain or tissue loss, it is essential that they be seen essentially right away by a vascular specialist. The issue with chronic limb-threatening ischemia is really the risk of limb loss. Patients with just the diagnosis of peripheral arterial disease, while they are at increased risk of limb loss, it's very rare that those patients progress to actual limb loss, whereas a patient with chronic limb-threatening ischemia has approximately a two-thirds chance of reaching the state of limb loss at some point in their life. So, you know, once this diagnosis is made, it's of the utmost importance that they seek or they be seen by a vascular specialist in the very near future to at least have a chance at limb salvage.
What are some of the hallmarks of it? Is it easy to mistake for something else? When does it become apparent? What would you want providers to be able to recognize as far as red flags?
Right. So most commonly, patients with chronic limb-threatening ischemia will present with pain in the foot or toes at rest. They'll often describe a burning sensation or paresthesia that is significant enough to interfere with sleep. And this symptom is the one that's kind of most often confused. As I mentioned earlier, patients with diabetes oftentimes have this diagnosis, and those patients that have diabetic neuropathy can oftentimes be mistaken for having this disease, or patients that have chronic limb-threatening ischemia can oftentimes be mistaken for having just diabetic neuropathy. The difference between the two is that, you know, patients often find relief. Chronic limb-threatening ischemia patients often find relief with keeping the foot in a dependent position. In fact, elevating the foot into bed is often what triggers the pain in the foot or the toes, and often makes the pain worse. Which is why we often find these patients dangling their foot over the edge of the bed, as they'll often find comfort in keeping that affected limb in the dependent position to help improve perfusion. So while the two can kind of coincide or be mistaken for each other, it's very important that any patient with paresthesias or numbness in the foot be evaluated for the presence of peripheral arterial disease.
Then speak about the diagnostic criteria and what are some of the valuable prognostic tools to aid in this early diagnosis, and then get into what are some current issues in medical or surgical management. Once you detect what's going on, assess for us the appropriateness of specific treatments you might use.
Right. So the initial diagnosis or workup really begins with a physical examination. The affected limb will often have an absence of pedal pulses. The foot will often be cool to touch. The skin will be thin, and there will often be an absence of hair in the lower extremity. There may or may not be tissue loss or ulcerations. We'll often see what we refer to as a dependent rubor, or a redness to the foot that's secondary to distal arterial dilatation and an orthostatic increase in distal perfusion pressure. You know, an important distinction to make on the initial physical examination is to determine whether or not there's underlying cellulitis. Oftentimes, the foot will be red from this dependent rubor, and makes it hard to determine if the patient has an underlying infection. One thing that can be done in this situation is to elevate the foot, and patients with the dependent rubor will often lose that color upon leg elevation, whereas cellulitis will remain. Once there's a concern on physical exam for the presence of peripheral arterial disease or chronic limb-threatening ischemia, the initial battery of tests is usually non-invasive in nature. This includes ankle pressures, toe pressures, duplex examinations, and pulse volume recordings. Ankle pressure is probably the most common and well-known test. We use this to create the ankle brachial index ratio, or the ABI, which is where we compare the pressure at the ankle to the pressure in the arm. You know, unfortunately, which is very prominent in diabetes, this ABI number can often be falsely elevated due to the presence of calcified arteries in the lower extremity, and so we therefore often use other measurements, including toe pressures and other studies, to confirm the diagnosis. You know, the combination of low toe pressures, low amplitude pulse volume recordings, and then monophasic Doppler waveforms is often indicative of chronic limb-threatening ischemia, regardless of what the ABI may be. We oftentimes use transcutaneous oxygen measurements as well. And then moving further into more invasive studies, CT angiography, MRI angiography, and then diagnostic angiography can often be used for more accurate anatomic detail. So the big debate deciding when to treat these patients really comes more with peripheral arterial disease and those patients that just have claudication. Patients with chronic limb-threatening ischemia should really be treated early and aggressively to attempt limb salvage. Now, obviously, the decision-making process involves, you know, the comorbid conditions of the patient, how well they can tolerate an operation, and how invasive an operation they can tolerate. But really, once they progress to having rest pain or tissue loss, it is of the utmost importance that they seek some form of treatment. When we are deciding how best to approach intervention in this patient population, we really have two options to choose from, which are the open surgical bypass versus endovascular measures with balloon angioplasty, and then plus or minus stent placement or some combination of the two. Open surgical bypass, as most people know, typically involves an infrainguinal bypass, usually with an origin on the common femoral artery, and then bypass to either an above or below knee popliteal artery segment, or even sometimes to a tibial or pedal vessel in those with long segment occlusions or tibial disease. Suprainguinal bypass, being above the inguinal ligament with usually an aortofemoral bypass or iliofemoral bypass, can also be performed. There's really no hard, fast rules, and essentially a bypass from any vessel with good inflow to any vessel with adequate outflow can be used. The three things we look at that are essential for a successful bypass are the presence of good inflow, presence of good outflow, and then the typical conduit or the particular conduit that we use. We prefer most often to use autogenous conduit in these patients, particularly the saphenous vein. However, other conduits such as arm vein or prosthetic options can also be used. Endovascular interventions has really been a field that has expanded rapidly over the last several years and continues to expand rapidly today. The basic concept behind endovascular treatments is that we work to essentially get wire access across a vessel obstruction, so really from a proximal limb to a distal limb across the disease segment, that then allows us to perform either balloon angioplasty of the artery or to place a stent across this artery to keep it patent and improve blood flow to the foot. That could be either done through the true lumen of the vessel or sometimes through a subintimal plane, depending on how advanced the disease process is. Again, there are several new adjuncts that have been added in the past several years to help us do these procedures, things such as atherectomy for vessel prepping or the use of drug-coated balloons and stents with anti-proliferative medications. Can often be used to assist with revascularization techniques and prevent intimal hyperplasia or failure of our intervention down the line. Again, this is an ever-expanding field with new tools arriving regularly, and we could spend all day discussing these if need be.
Well, we certainly could. And tell me, doctor, are there vascular guidelines for chronic limb-threatening ischemia, and have other specialties that work on the revascularization of the lower limbs been brought together to incorporate some of these guidelines? Tell us about integration and improved coordination of care between providers.
So, yeah, there are. Society of Vascular Surgery works tirelessly to help create guidelines to instruct us on what procedures to use when. And recently, new global vascular guidelines for the treatment of chronic limb-threatening ischemia specifically have been put forth by the SVS, as well as the European Society for Vascular Surgery and the World Federation of Vascular Societies. These guidelines are not necessarily meant to be law by any means, but instead they provide a framework moving forward when managing these patients by employing what is referred to as the Wi-Fi classification system that we use to classify patients with chronic limb-threatening ischemia. Not only will this help us make decisions in the future when treating these patients, but it will also provide an organized way of following these patients in a systematic approach to determine which particular interventions provide the best outcomes for each particular patient group. The Wi-Fi system, just for reference, is an updated way of grading the severity of these patients. It's similar to the tumor node and metastasis staging system in oncology, except here Wi-Fi refers to wound, ischemia, and foot infection to ultimately grade the severity. You've also raised a good point that there are multiple specialties that will work in this particular patient population, including that of interventional cardiology as well as interventional radiology. And both of these specialties, along with vascular surgery, played a major part in developing these new global vascular surgery guidelines. Finally, to your point, I would like to briefly mention a new trend that has really advanced in the last several years within vascular surgery, and that's our collaboration with podiatry, or the so-called toe and flow model. I personally believe that there's good evidence coming from these models out of particularly Baylor and Houston, Texas, and then as well as the USC group in Los Angeles, that this will probably be the future in caring for these patients. We here at UAB have recently developed the UAB Advanced Limb Preservation Program, along with Dr. Haverstock, who is a podiatrist in our group. And then similar again to the oncology world, our plan is to approach these patients in a multidisciplinary fashion and include all specialties with an interest in treating these patients, including our infectious disease experts, endocrinologists for diabetic management, plastic surgeons, and wound care specialists, in addition to vascular surgeons and podiatrists that will ultimately advance the care of this complex patient group.
Then wrap it up for us and summarize any promising new therapies. And I know you mentioned a few when you were talking about surgical interventions, but wrap it up with your best information for other providers so that they understand the importance of recognizing some of the symptoms in this patient population and that prompt referral is important.
Right. So, and as I mentioned, chronic limb-threatening ischemia is really the most advanced or end stage of peripheral arterial disease that is indicative of a very high risk of limb loss as well as other cardiovascular complications. These patients are often very complicated, have multiple other comorbidities, and therefore, anytime there's a concern in a patient that has pain in their foot at rest or any evidence of tissue loss on the foot, these patients really require urgent referral. Some signs that would be concerning for more emergent referral are those of overwhelming infection, patients that are septic from a foot wound, or those that have progressive ischemic changes to the limb should oftentimes be referred to the nearest emergency department and then on to a vascular specialist from there. you know, looking at the patient as a whole, often multimodality treatment is best. So we discuss medical therapy with aspirin and statin therapy, as well as, you know, appropriate management of hypertension and diabetes. But then often in this particular patient population, as we mentioned, surgical intervention is required for limb salvage. The basic tenets of limb salvage surgery, first and foremost, is to control infection. If infection is present, then source control measures with operative debridement and IV antibiotics is often required. And then, you know, we really look and strive to look at each individual patient that presents with this diagnosis to see what the ultimate best method of intervention is going to be for them. So a patient that really can't tolerate a big open bypass surgery, we oftentimes will be more aggressive from an endovascular means to try and get them direct inline flow to their foot to help treat the rest pain or heal a wound. Those patients that can tolerate a big open operation, while they still may benefit and often do benefit from endovascular measures, we will more likely proceed with open measures should the endovascular option fail. So the key really for you know, physicians seeing these patients kind of as the first line in their clinics and in the emergency departments is that urgent and sometimes emergent referral is necessary to ultimately, you know, improve the quality of life and save limbs in this challenging patient population.
Thank you so much, Dr. McFarland. Great information and so well explained. Thank you again for joining us. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.